Welcome to the Sensitive Souls Podcast, a communal space where the neurodivergent, the sensitive spirit, and the creative can come together and feel safe, seen, and heard. Whether you are spiritual, into personal development, or just need a friend to talk to, you're in the right space. Grab a cup of tea, a cozy blanket, and let's get started. Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Sensitive Souls Podcast. I am your host, Jess Palmer, a she-they human farinoid doing their best to navigate life as a neurodivergent person. Someone who doesn't always quite fit in, goes against the status quo, maybe has been labeled weird, sensitive, a misfit. And it's those folks who I'm looking to reach, not only with my story, but with theirs. And in sharing my personal experiences as living as a neurodivergent person, I found it healing for myself and for those who can relate, whether you are diagnosed ADHD or autistic or have anxiety, depression, bipolar, borderline, what have you. You understand what it's like to feel different, to feel outside of society, your peers, and maybe even your family. Perhaps you're the odd one out who feels like they're looking through a window on the other side of the wall into the lives of their friends and family and loved ones. There, but not fully there. And that's kind of a depressing way to start this episode. Oh, man. Just, it's Scorpio season, if you can't tell. Just with that in and of itself. But hi, friends. I know it's been a little bit. I don't know why I went on that tangent there. I think basically what I'm trying to get at is, you know, this podcast is such a safe place for all of us to relate to one another, to feel safe, and to show one another love and care. And that's sort of the gist of how I'm feeling lately, is wanting to show myself love and care and compassion and patience, especially with celebrating my 29th trip around the sun yesterday, October 24th. And I woke up today just in a reflective place, you know, just reflecting on everything that's changed, that's evolved. And I truly don't know or really understand how so much time has passed. I don't know. I woke up yesterday feeling so happy and feeling so complete. Like, I really truly felt in that moment I was exactly where I was meant to be, and I still feel that way. But I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but I always feel kind of big girl sad the next day after my birthday, and I don't know if it's because it's not about me anymore, or it's like you truly just get one day of the year where you're celebrated, right? And to me, it's like, why not celebrate ourselves every year? Or not every year, every day, right? You know, like, how can we celebrate ourselves every single day? And not just wait for our birthday every year to really know we're worthy of receiving that love. You know what I'm saying? But getting, I'm off track already, folks. I am off track already. I literally have notes right here and I'm jumping all around them. Probably because I smoked some gelato this morning. But let me backtrack a little bit. So I have a funny story for y'all. I've gotten some feedback from some folks and I'm working on my audio. I know I've been rocking the phone mic for a while now, and sometimes it's okay, and sometimes it's way not okay. So I do appreciate you bearing with me, being patient with me, allowing me to kind of get back into podcasting in a really easygoing, lighthearted way without a ton of work, you know, because it's when it becomes a huge burden that I'm like not interested, you know. And that's sort of where the podcast was before. I was so rigid with interviews and my audio and my editing and the graphic design. Like, I was putting so much time and effort into the podcast that it took away the joy of me just like wanting to share and connect with others and hear their stories. So, yeah, when I returned to podcasting this year, I've really just been keeping it chill. However, I do have a professional microphone, but I lost the cord. I ordered a new cord. Then I didn't have the adapter for my laptop because I have a MacBook and there's no USB direct ports. You have to get a USB-C to USB adapter. I was like, fuck, okay, I gotta get that. And mind you, like, I have ADHD, so I'm procrastinating a lot of this and just recording episodes in the meantime with my phone, understanding that my audio is kind of getting worse. So I ordered the adapter. Now I can't find the cord. I'm telling you, the last 2 weeks, I've been turning this house upside down trying to find my podcast cord. I'm like, where the hell could it have gone? And I bet many of you who have ADHD can understand, like, the doom boxes or like the doom bins. Think of it like a junk drawer where you just throw random shit in there, but in the moment you rationalize why you're putting it in there. You're like, oh, this makes sense because I'm gonna put it with all the other electronic cords. Like, in the moment it makes sense, but then you forget where you put the damn doom box or electronics box. And then when you do find it, it's not even in the damn box. So it's like, what's the point of having the box in the first place? I digress. So I guess I'm gonna have to spend another $10 and buy another damn cord. And this time not lose it because, yeah, I feel like an idiot. I feel like my memory has gotten worse, maybe like the last couple years. Like, not in like a scary way, but in the sense that usually I'm pretty autistic about where I put my things, and like I know exactly where my things are. I even know where other people's things are. Like, I'm very observant. And so for me to misplace something like that, especially in my room or in the rest of my apartment, like, I checked every area where that motherfucker would be. So yeah, that is my long explanation as to why I missed an episode last week, because I was so stressed trying to find the cord that I panicked and I was like, I can't release an episode until I have the cord and have the perfect audio, you know, like the all or nothing mindset. And then I woke up today and I missed podcasting and I was like, fuck that. So today I have my phone propped up on like a yoga block, a book, and a box, and I have it like a good distance away from my mouth, and I'm not even touching it, so you won't hear any thumping. You might hear me picking up my cup to take a sip of tea, but hopefully it's okay. All right. Enough with the formalities here, folks. And let's get into today's birthday episode. Even though my birthday was yesterday, I was pretty much lit all day and I didn't want to record, I'll be honest with you. I went to visit one of my best friends up in Portland, Maine this weekend. And we just chilled. Like, we straight up chilled. We went to a really nice dispensary up there. I got some really nice concentrates, a sick ass beanie. It was beautiful out. Like, the sky was so blue, the sun was warm, but it was cool enough to walk around downtown, and not, you know, die and wear like a sweater. And that was just nice. Like, it was a beautiful fall day. And that's why I do like my birthday, because although it's not warm and I can't have a pool party, I can appreciate the foliage and like this beautiful time of year, you know? So we walked around. We got a pumpkin pie spice, not pumpkin spice. The pumpkin pie is a big difference. Pumpkin pie spice cold brew with oat milk. Ugh. I want another one. I wish I could recreate it. And maybe I could, but it was so good, folks. I do love a pumpkin spice coffee, but sometimes the pumpkin spice is like too spicy, whereas the pumpkin pie spice has more of like a nutmeggy or like vanilla undertone because like you gotta think of the crust. It's just so good. It's so good. And we also went to the Holy Donut, which is a really poppin' donut place up there that makes these like potato donuts. I got an apple caramel one. It's like crispy on the outside and like fluffy on the inside. Oh, I'm such a foodie. Like, I'm a picky ass eater, but I love food. Like, I love a good sweet or like a good slice of cheesy pizza. But I ate my weight in food this weekend, folks. It's like, oh, I love food so much that it's just the way I like to celebrate. And same with my friends. So we basically just got lit as fuck, explored. Yeah, the main weed is dank. And then my best friend and I recently unlocked this like core level of our friendship. We've been friends for a few years now, and I never knew that she loved Jersey Shore. And hear me out, like, don't judge. I mean, judge me if you want to, because if I was listening to this and I didn't like Jersey Shore, I would probably judge me too. But I kind of was raised on it. It was a show that like my family would watch, and we would just like laugh about it, like probably most households in America at the time. And I kind of fell off of it. I didn't know that they started up a new show or that there was really any other shows in between, like Snooki and JWoww, and then Vinny and Pauly D have a show. And so she was over here maybe like a month or two ago at my place. And we just got lit as fuck and ordered pizza. And she's like, "So, what have you been watching lately?" And I just kind of looked at her and I was like, "Don't judge me, but I've been watching Jersey Shore." And she looked at me like I had six heads, you guys, like looking at me like I had just, I don't know, proposed or something. And she was like so serious. She says, "Did I not tell you like this part of me?" And I'm like getting concerned. I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "Are you kidding me? I've never told you this." I'm like, "Tell me what?" She's like, "I love Jersey Shore." She's like, "It's my number one comfort show. I've watched through all of the seasons like six times. I could tell you what season 3, episode 5 is about." She's like, "This is like a core part of me that you've now unlocked." And I just looked at her and I felt so connected to her in this moment. I was like, kindred spirits, man. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So, since then, till when I went to visit her up in Portland, I had watched all of Jersey Shore, all 6 seasons. And I just started Family Vacation, which is like the newer one where they're like in their 30s and 40s, still getting lit as fuck. Where I just turned 29 and I go to bed at like 8:30. So, yeah, I digress. But we got super lit on Saturday after exploring. And for like 10 hours, we watched a whole season of Snooki and JWoww, and I never felt more fulfilled and happy in my whole entire life. Like, this whole birthday weekend vacation that I've had, these last 4 days off, have truly just been a chill vacation. Me relaxing, spending time with loved ones, laughing, being silly, and just like not being a human, you know? The last year of my life has been really fucking stressful. You know, like walking a loved one through chemotherapy and, you know, starting a new job and having my whole household dynamic change and going through a breakup and loss. And yeah, and I'm not even saying any of that for a pity party. It's just for me, I have to remind myself that it's okay to chill. It's okay for me to chill because I've been through so much. I work so hard, not only in my job, but in how I hold space and love others, you know? Like, I deserve rest just as much as the next person. And so this birthday was really special to me because it was the first birthday where I was completely content doing nothing, you know? So I spent a couple days in Maine and I came back down and had a few days here in Mass to just kind of chill and relax the day of my birthday, now today while I'm recording this. And yesterday I woke up at like 11:30 in the morning. I never sleep that late. I got lit. One of my best friends came over with gluten-free cupcakes and flowers and a really lovely painted card. We watched a video on the new moon that's today and all about the solar eclipse, and we took notes and stuff, and we were just kind of geeking out. I had my heated blanket on because I got my period on the new moon, of course, and on my birthday, which felt symbolic. And yeah, we just relaxed. We smoked some great weed. I smoked a strain called something LSD. Or maybe it was just called LSD. And it was a really nice indica leaning strain that my friend brought from Good Chemistry. And I really enjoyed it. I like Good Chemistry's flower if you're in the North Shore, Massachusetts area. Yeah, their flower is pretty dank. But anyway. Yeah, so yesterday was really just a day for me to chill. And, I think too, it's yesterday made me reflect a little bit on my autism too, and just how much my mask has started to come off these last few years, not even knowing that that's what was happening. Now, understanding since being diagnosed that. Like yesterday, I went out to dinner with my parents, and the restaurant was very loud. The clinking of dishes, we were like right next to the kitchen, voices, my parents trying to talk. And I just felt so overwhelmed that I had to put my earplugs in. I recently got the Loop Experience plugs. I had the quiet plugs, which muffled too much, like I couldn't hear what people around me were saying. So I recently got the experience, which filters it a little less. And those were really helpful yesterday. I was still able to hear my parents and the waitress when she came over. But the sharpness, the abrasiveness, even like the pain, I know that sounds dramatic, but like the physical reactions I was getting from this overstimulation and input of sound. Those earplugs help so much. Granted, they were kind of hard to eat with because they do, what am I trying to say here? Increase your internal sounds like breathing, swallowing, chewing. But for what I needed them to do, they were great. And so I learned yesterday that I don't really like going out to eat anymore because the last few times I have, it's the same thing. It's too stimulating. I can't hear that person. I'm getting distracted by everyone around me. And I used to love going out to eat, but I never realized how anxious I was a lot of the time when I would go out because of all the noises and the commotion. And I would just either drink a lot to kind of like numb it out, or I would be anxious and internalizing it and therefore being quiet or distracted at the dinner table, or I would be like, trying to talk to distract myself from feeling so overstimulated. And yeah, yeah, I don't know, folks. I feel like for me, I still love cafes, coffee shops that aren't as crowded. Like, I'm still down to go out to eat. It's just these places are so crowded sometimes and so loud. There's a taco place down the street from my apartment that literally plays the music so loud. You're like in a club, and people who aren't even sensitive to sound have said that with me when we've gone out there. So imagine an autistic person or an ADHD person or someone with sensory processing disorder going into a place like that. It's insane. How I always like to explain sensory processing issues is like, let's say you're in the car and your volume goes from like 1 to 50. And 50 is like max volume. And let's say for you like the volume at like 30, and you think that's like a good volume. To someone with sensory issues, that volume's gonna feel like 50 or even more, even off the scale, because sound gets so intensified. So it's like think about what a good, like if you're a neurotypical person who doesn't struggle with this, think about what a comfortable loud level is for you, or even to the point where it starts to be a little overstimulating. Now, just like times that by, I don't know, or increase that by, let's say, like 30 to 80%. I'm not being dramatic here. Like, it is a spectrum when it comes to the different traits that people with sensory processing have. But yeah, I just really have struggle with eating out now because of how overstimulating it was. So yesterday, and even today, as I'm reflecting, this is the first birthday I'm celebrating knowing I'm an autistic person. And it does change things. I've lived so long not understanding, but now have the awareness of knowing. And even last night, my parents were acknowledged, like they acknowledged the fact that I was overstimulated, that I was uncomfortable. They were apologetic and very kind. And I was very, very grateful for that. And like very, I felt a lot of love and a lot of self-love too, because I did what I had to do. I put my earplugs in, you know, I told them I was feeling overstimulated and I did my best. And, you know, maybe it wasn't my best, you know, because I did get a little irritable because I was feeling so overstimulated. But I think overall, given everything, I did my best. And that's all we can do. You know, so yeah, I think one of the reflections of this birthday is I don't like going out to eat anymore unless it's super freaking quiet. And I think going back to me kind of doing nothing on my birthday, so to speak, besides going out later on in the evening, I really have a great time doing nothing. You know, if I know anything about myself, I love to chill. You know, do I feel that sometimes I may not always push myself out of my comfort zone or push myself more? Yeah, definitely. But I'm also someone who knows my limits, and I'm not going to try to pretend to be someone I'm not. I'm not going to pretend to be someone who wants to, you know, go out all the time and join all these social groups and go to parties and, you know, maybe go hike Mount Everest and travel to Australia. You know, like I would love one day to travel more and to have more comfort zone breaking experiences. Absolutely. But on my day to day, I'm a chill person. I like to chill. The world is so overstimulating for me sometimes that my chilling is my safe place, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so for me to celebrate my birthday by just taking care of myself, that was a really good feeling. I really love that. I've learned to grow to accept all parts of myself, even some that would be judged by others or society as a whole. But again, returning to what I said earlier, like, I am a neurodivergent person. Most of you listening to this podcast are neurodivergent people. And the fact of the matter is we do not operate the same as neurotypical people, and we live in a neurotypical world. And a lot of the depression and anxiety that we may feel can stem from this feeling of feeling outside of the group, feeling different, feeling like you don't fit in. And like, I hate to say it like this, but like, we don't. And the minute we start to accept that and find love and compassion in that, that is when we can really start to get to know ourselves, get to show compassion to ourselves, get to learn to understand how we operate, not from a place of judgment, but from curiosity, and to learn and understand, and to maybe create systems and implement ways of motivating yourself based off of how your mind operates, not how society tries to tell you how you should operate. I think I'm gonna do an episode about this. I'm definitely going to do an episode on the ADHD brain and how it's motivated, because I won't get too much into it, but the ADHD brain is driven by other aspects that neurotypical brains are not, like reward and procrastination and like deadlines, or urgency, I should say. So there are other things and ways to approach a neurodivergent mind when it comes to operating in a neurotypical world. But the minute you start to accept that you are different, but that it's okay and there's nothing wrong with you, and that there are others out there like you, and that you're loved for who you are, I don't know. I feel like it really changes the game on how you show up in the world and how you view yourself as capable. Because I said this to my friend who's also autistic yesterday, that sometimes I feel like I'm ableist towards myself. Like this time last year, when I was starting to begin my assessment, I totally debilitated myself by feeling ableist towards me, saying that, well, if I'm autistic, that's why I'm so lazy and I have no energy and why I can't socialize and why I can't have a normal job and why I can't do this and that. Like, I'll need a caretaker for the rest of my life and blah, blah, blah. And I just spiraled, and it became so debilitating when, obviously, when my life came crashing down earlier this year, I had to show up for myself responsibly. Like, I had an apartment to manage, cats to take care of, bills to pay. Like, I had to get a better paying, more hours type of job. Granted, in something I love, which is amazing, but yeah, I am capable. I may have autism and that may be a disability, but I'm still showing up and doing the damn thing to the best of my ability while also remembering that I'm autistic. And there are days where I'm going to shut down and lay in bed from sunup to sundown, and that's okay. That's okay. And if you're there with me, if you're neurodivergent and on your days off, you spend them in bed, here's your permission slip. I got you. It's okay. Do some stretching in between. You'll be good. Maybe go for a little walk. I don't always go for a little walk. So you're good, boo. You're good. You know, it's okay. However you gotta operate is okay, but really beginning with the self-acceptance around, like, I'm neurodivergent as fuck. I don't operate the same. It's okay. So instead of resisting how I operate, I'm going to embrace it and work with it. Ah, what a good episode. This is a good episode. I'm feeling really good about this. I feel like this birthday, I felt like the last year, the last 2 years, it's like, let's say my life is like a ship in the ocean. I felt like I've been going against the tide. And when I woke up yesterday, I felt this internal rotation of the boat of my life, now facing the opposite way, going with the current, with the waves. And I had this inner knowing that although things have been incredibly hard, incredibly challenging, testing of will and patience and perseverance and self-love, all of this hard work and patience is paying off and is leading me to a very abundant, beautiful outcome. And maybe I'm not right there right now at that outcome, but I know at the very least that my internal compass, my internal ship, has shifted in a way that I have this deep knowing that all will be well, no matter what. And so I was going to do 29 lessons for 29, but I felt like if I were to just rattle off 29 lessons, that perhaps maybe they wouldn't be so well absorbed. So I wrote five. Okay. Lesson number one, you will never be fully in control in life. You will never be fully in control in life. And that is a very hard pill to swallow for many of us, especially those who may struggle with anxiety, OCD, anything really. We as humans don't like the uncertainty, the unknown, death, loss, everything that's on the other side of knowing. Is it's it can make people do chaotic, neurotic things when they don't have control. And if I've learned anything this past year, is that you truly have no control over anything but yourself, how you show up and react to situations and people, and what you pick up along the way and how you implement it into your life. The second lesson, faith is truly practiced during times when you have none. Faith is truly practiced during times when you have none. As many of you know, I really deepened my faith and my practice this past year. And whew, must be the season of the witch, folks, because this year I've really felt like a witch. I've really felt like I'm in my craft, I'm in my workings, working with my spirit team. And it was during times where I had no faith. That is where I found my faith. That is where I found surrender and trust that no matter what, everything would be okay. I would be okay. People involved in certain situations would be okay. Even if not, you know, like at the end of the day, no matter what, it will be okay. Wow, that one kind of got me emotional because I think too, just like a big lesson of this year was showing myself compassion for all areas of my life, even when I'm not being the best version of myself, even when I'm not doing the things I quote unquote should be doing. And even in my practice, I think I felt resistance towards like being a witch or having a practice or a craft because I felt like if I wasn't the perfect witch doing the perfect spells and the perfect rituals and the perfect calculations of the astrological phases and planetary movements in the moon, that I wouldn't be a real witch. And this past year, I really gave myself the grace to practice however the fuck I want to practice, however the hell feels magical and potent and intentional and powerful. And I did that, and I do that, and it's more than enough. And I don't do rituals on every new moon or full moon. I'm not always praying, I'm not always lighting candles at my altar, but I make the effort when I can, and my best is good enough. The next lesson is, sometimes love isn't enough, and that's okay. Sometimes love isn't enough, and that's okay. Man, these lessons are depressing as fuck. 28 was a pretty tough year. But man, I learned some really valuable lessons, and this being one of them. You know, when you love to love people like I do, and not from a codependent place, but I think most people who know me now in this version of my life, version, like there's so many different dimensional timelines playing out at once, I mean, duh. But in this dimension, in this timeline of my life, I feel a lot of joy connecting with others and loving others. And yeah, I don't know, like I love to love physically, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually. Like I love to love others. And sometimes that love has led me to put horse blinders on to toxic behaviors, have made me an enabler, I'll be completely honest. And that ignorance has not led to bliss, but has led to pain and suffering and like being a disservice to myself. And so learning boundaries has been really important for me. And that includes learning to love people while also seeing them for who they are, flaws and all, and from an embodied place, making the decision to understand what that relationship means to me and what boundaries need to be in place in order to preserve myself and to ensure that my love and care is not taken advantage of. So that's one way that lesson is interpreted, but sometimes love isn't enough and that's okay. Also refers to my breakup this year. Not only with my partner at the time, but my best friend of a long time. I went through two major losses, like processing that this year, and I love these people more than I've loved a lot of other people in my life, sometimes more than myself. And in doing so, I've sacrificed myself, my well-being, my needs, my boundaries. Yeah, that was a really hard one for me, because for me, love, and being a Scorpio, I'm loyal as fuck. Love sometimes for me also means like possession. And possession in the sense of like, I'm so loyal to you that I will hold on to you and hold on to whatever this is until there is nothing left. And that's not always a good thing. You know, you gotta learn to let go. You have to learn that sometimes you can love someone and not be with them or not have them in your life and know that that's okay. You know, that you can love someone from afar while also protecting yourself. But that's really hard. Non-attachment is very hard, especially those with Scorpio placements. So if you feel me there, you're not alone. And I love you because I understand what it feels like to love people so deeply. But I won't beat a dead horse on this one. I just feel that discernment between when it's time to let something or someone go is really important. The next one, and this kind of ties into my ableist thoughts that I shared earlier. You are more capable of doing hard things than you know. You are more capable of doing hard things than you know. And I put hard things in like quotation marks because hard things is defined differently for everyone. For me, that's like calling the vet's office to make an appointment for my cats, or like going to the dentist, or going to drop off my books at the library. that's like hard things for me. Other people could be saving 10% of their income every month, you know, selling their house, or, you know, writing a book. Hard things looks differently for everybody, but you are more capable of doing hard things than you know is so true, because we place limitations on ourselves, and that has a lot to do with the society, our peers, our childhood, our parents, everything. And when we really want to rewire our brains and our beliefs about ourselves and our capabilities, we really need to look at where they come from. What did we see around us growing up? What kind of role models did we have? You know, did the role models in our life, were they proactive and doing things and reaching goals and responsibilities? Were they self-assured or were they inactive? Did they not take the action that was needed in order to do those hard things? So what were you shown growing up? Everyone interprets hard things differently, and really knowing that you are more capable than you know is a great reminder that when shit hits the fan, because it will, you have to be able to believe in yourself and to know that no matter what, you'll be okay. Even if you don't have all the resources you need, you can find them. And if you can't, ask someone to help you. Ask a friend, ask a coworker, ask a boss if you feel comfortable. You know, you're not alone. And you don't have to do everything alone. That's it too, you know. I think sometimes people with disabilities or neurodivergencies or what have you, it's kind of like black and white, all or nothing. Like either you're trying to do everything yourself and you ask for no help, or you're completely debilitated in your thoughts and ideas that you're not capable, right? So it's like, where can you find the fine line where you show compassion and grace towards yourself that it's okay to ask for help while also showing up and doing the hard things as well? You know what I'm saying? Like there's a fine line. And the last lesson, number 5. The blossoming of self-love begins with loss. The blossoming of self-love begins with loss. This one was really tough for me to write because, of course, this is going to be different for everybody. But from personal experience, a lot of my self-love has blossomed from loss. Whether it's the loss of a friend, the death of a loved one, a breakup, moving, illness, what have you. It's through loss and struggle that me personally, I've blossomed into this state of self-love and self-mastery. And I don't say I'm a master of self. I think it's an ever-evolving journey, but I really like that phrase. I heard it the other day when my friend and I were watching that video on the new moon in Scorpio, the solar eclipse today. And self-mastery, I love that. I love the idea of mastering oneself, even though, like I said, you'll never fully master yourself, right? But you can really know yourself. You can begin that journey of unraveling and understanding who you are and what makes you tick. But my self-love truly came from the pits of hell, my friends. You know, like I think about where I was 10 years ago. And a friend asked me recently, you know, what's something I've learned in the last like decade of my life as I'm now entering the last year of my 20s. And I said with a smile on my face that what I've learned and who I've learned about is myself. My whole 20s was removing and peeling back the layers and masks that I created in my adolescence to be accepted by others, to be validated and wanted by others, to be desired by others. I could say it a million different ways. That when I hit a low with my depression in my early 20s and mid 20s, I had a couple of periods where I just did not know who the fuck I was. I had no clue. I had no clue who I was. And this separation from self made me so incredibly depressed. And now I can say for the last few years, I have not felt that. Because I feel it's due to me truly rediscovering who I am, peeling back the layers of those masks, discarding what is not in alignment with who I am and who I want to be, and allowing myself to be seen by others authentically and not caring what they think. And that if someone sees the light in me and the value in me and the love within me, they will, you know, like you got to remember, like that quote from Dr. Seuss, those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind, right? The people in your life who truly are meant to stay and love you and support you are going to love you and support you for who you are. And those are the people who matter, not the guy you see on the sidewalk or even the customer that comes to your counter if you're in customer service or even your coworkers. Like, it truly matters most what you think and the people who love you. And even then, it doesn't matter. It really, truly matters what you think about you. And if you're happy with who you are, if you love your quirks for just as they are, then that's more than enough. And if you're not there yet, it's okay. It's an ever-evolving journey. I'm not always on it. Some days I really am not nice to myself still. But I would say more often times than not, I show myself love and gratitude for who I am, because who else is going to do it if it's not going to be me? You know what I'm saying? So thank you all so much for your time today, your love and patience, all the birthday wishes. I was so much love was pouring into my heart yesterday with all of the pictures of me shared on Instagram and the texts and calls and the cards and gifts. I just am so, so lucky. So thank you all so much for tuning in to this episode. I love you all so much, and we will connect soon.